Warning, The Bear Takedown is a filthy podcast about homosexual bears and chasers. All are welcome, except for coworkers and family members of the host. If I was you, I wouldn't listen, just saying. It is definitely not safe to listen to at work or while driving with your windows down. However, pants down listening is encouraged.
What up? Welcome back to another episode of The Bear Takedown. Along my friend,
I'm Sugar.
I am Nick, and welcome back to another episode. We've been busy getting our summer in gear. We've been playing softball tournaments, vacations, trips to sex pool parties.
I'm vaxxed and I'm ready to get pregnant.
Vaxxed and ready to test out the test out everything. So we've been we apologize for not having an episode for a little while, but you know, that's kind of the summer and kind of what gets going and life happens. And yeah, we don't make a dollar off of it, so we try to do it when we can.
You get what you get. I think that's what Nick is trying to say. You get what you get.
Hey, did you hear the big PSA news? I sent you an email this week. This is for all you. This is for all you bears.
And, this is such a fat boy PSA.
This is like a big fat boy PSA.
So if you have a Panasonic CPAP,
Philips
CPAP. They're recalling them.
They're being recalled. Philips CPAPs. So if you have that white little dream machine that a lot of people have, or there's a few other different brands, make sure you Google it and find out, read about it. There's like a little piece of foam in there that is falling apart, and you may or not be ingesting it. So you can fill out that, and I guess sometime in 6 months to a year, they'll send you a new one. But yeah, read that if you have one of those.
So that's just a little PSA for all of our little bear listeners out there.
And
our
little chasers that sleep next to one.
Who can't breathe when they're sleeping.
Stop breathing. So you been doing all right?
Good. Traveling a lot. Like I said, vaccinated. So most of my friends are now. So as you are, we've been traveling a lot, getting out there more. And just trying to kind of make up for 2020.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Tonight is Barracuda here in Portland. So that'll tell you when we're recording this. But we went to Seattle's Barracuda last weekend. Oh, my God.
It was insane.
I wish we had softball the next morning. So we tried to limit ourselves how long we were there. But
I guess we should preface it. Yeah, we were in a softball tournament last weekend.
Yeah.
And we took third place out of 20 teams. Yes. Hey, go Portland. So we were the only Portland team to actually place in the tournament. Thank you.
To bring home a trophy.
Exactly.
Where's that trophy? Is it around here somewhere?
No, I think someone has it. It's our friend. It's safe. Oh, okay. Okay, let me tell you, Sunday night, you didn't stay Sunday night. Sunday night got crazy, okay? Oh, well, we went to a lot of different bars. We went to some people's houses. There was a lot of house parties going on.
House parties.
It is safe. I have a picture of it.
I don't think I've ever went out to a bar and ended up at a house party.
You come to my house all the time.
Oh, is that what you consider?
After hours.
Oh, okay. Anyways, today we've reeled in one of our amazing good friends and teammates, Mr. Guadalupe.
Hello, Guadi.
Oh, hi. Awesome.
So just to preface it, I have known Guadalupe since 2018.
Yes.
And actually, yes, 2018. We met here in Portland through softball.
Through softball, yeah.
He played with another team that was not really good, but now.
I mean, we won the tournament that year, and we won first place that year. So
besides that, they're not good.
They are no longer together, so
he was
you are correct.
Thank you. But now he plays with Nick and I on our team, which he is a great addition, and he played awesome last weekend in the tournament.
Oh, thank you.
For his birthday.
For my birthday.
That's right. He turned 43. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He's holding his heart right now. He did not.
He's not ready for the four.
She always comes for me, so I should have known better than to say yes to this.
Yeah. He's the big 3'6" now.
Yes.
So, and looks not a day over 29.
43.
But the fun thing about Guadalupe, he's going to tell a story, is that we are both queens from the South.
Yes.
So tell us about where you're from, how you got to be on this earth.
Of course.
Why you're here.
You know, I am lucky that I was raised in Alabama because people are crazy there. So it's fit in just fine. but I was raised in Alabama, and then, you know, both my parents were in the military, so they moved around a lot, but before, and then we ended up settling in Montgomery. So that's really where we the story begins.
So tell me, at what age did you come out?
Oh, Lord, that's a whole story in and of itself. I was outed when I was 15 in Alabama. Ouch. So I was on the cheerleading team, and at that time, I had not had my first experience yet. But I ended up having my first experience and telling what I thought was my friend during a cheerleading practice, and that supposed friend went around and told everybody, yeah. And then got kicked off the team, and basically it was a lot, you know, being yeah. outed in the South. So.
So you were on the cheerleading team and you had to get outed? And your friend on the team was a male or a female?
Well, I was the first male cheerleader at my high school. So there was that, but you know, there was a lot of, male dancers on the dance team and stuff. So,
and have they since come out? Since
you know, days? It's a funny story. So the, I believe the first male dance student or the dancer on our dance team was Twitch from So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, really?
Yes. So,
and he's on Ellen now. He's yeah. like, yeah, okay.
So, he went to my high school, or we went to the same high school. So
he's kind of hot.
It's very hot. So.
And dance really good too. So Alabama, you got outed. How yes. did your, how'd your family react to that?
You know, so, my mom took me to a therapist to see, and the therapist and I just talked, you know, my mom is Methodist, my dad is Catholic, and, my parents are divorced. I never knew them together, but living with my mom, and she took me to a Methodist therapist, and we just chatted, and then, after that, my mom didn't say anything else about it. You know, I wasn't allowed to spend the night at boys' house. But after that, you know, she was very supportive. You know, she, in her own way, you know, it's an adjustment not only for myself, but also for, you know, relatives and family. And then with my dad, like, I really, I'm sure he knew. I'm sure my mom talked to him, but I didn't come out to him until much later in my 20s. So
it was kind of the unspoken thing.
Correct. So this was always Guadalupe's friend that right. was coming over.
In the South, we love the unspokenness of it.
Girl, this is his roommate now, yeah. bitch. They're having sex.
Or this is a family friend.
Exactly.
That's what I was always introduced as. So you, teenage years, so 15, after the coming out and the transitioning, tell us about how you transitioned into the college years.
College years. Oh, I let my freak flag fly.
Yes. Now we're getting to the good stuff.
No, I mean, like, I went to college at, my first degree is from the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa. So, and, they have, surprisingly enough, they have a very large gay community. It's just back then it wasn't as out, right. You know, you have to choose your friends wisely in the South. So that's what it is. Surrounded myself with good people and, you know, went out to the bars that were there, you know, tried not to get gay bashed and, you know, did that from there. So college was a fun time. You know, I had lots of sex. So.
'Cause you went to college for dance.
Yes. I have a degree in dance from University of Alabama, and I danced, professionally for like 12 years, danced with a company there during college. And then after college, moved to back home to Montgomery, danced with Montgomery Ballet, and then moved to Nashville and danced with Dance Theater of Tennessee. So,
goodness. So the dance world, and this is me stereotyping as we should not in our community, but we do. But it seems as though there are a large gay population
yes.
in dance.
Well, surprisingly enough, a lot of the male, like it is a stereotype because a lot of the male dancers that you do encounter are straight. So like, granted, you do have a large population of queer individuals in the dance community, but there are also equally amount of straight allies there right. too. So
was it easier once you got into that world, you know, to kind of open up and be more yourself?
I think so. I think it wasn't really until after college, well, actually after dance, that I really started discovering who I am, you know, as a, you know, you work on, in the South, you're always like trying not to show that queer side of you so you don't get gay bashed. And then you hide yourself for so long that once you're finally able to be yourself, you really don't know what that journey looks like until you get into it. So like, I would say until like 5, 6 years ago is when I first really started knowing who I truly was, what kind of person I am. So, yeah.
Cause it was still, I mean, if we're looking at, you know, a timeline, you were in college in like the mid 2000s,
right? I graduated high school in 2003, graduated college 2008. So, I mean, it's still relatively young in the aspect of being able to be out and free.
Yeah, because a lot of people think, you know, we had Will and Grace during that time. So, you know, gay people were obviously there to see, but still in the real world, it wasn't all Will and Grace.
Well, I mean, and especially in the South, you know, I lived in Alabama, I lived in Tennessee. Like, these are not usually thought of as queer safe spaces. Granted, like, large communities and larger cities are, but, you know, living in Montgomery, going to school in Tuscaloosa, like, all these places are not as welcoming as people would like them to be.
And when you were, and so those were like, you were in the South still for college and for the dancing.
Yes.
Did you ever think about like going, out of there, or was it not that bad, or you didn't think it would be different anywhere else?
Well, I mean, I did dance on a cruise ship. I danced in out of, my cruise ship that I danced with was out of Seattle. So it was the Norwegian Pearl. We sailed out of Seattle for 3 months and then, sailed out of Miami for 3 months. I only did one contract with them because I really love ballet. So I was just trying to transition into a good headspace for me with dance. So, I mean, I did tours in New York. So I studied in New York for 2 summers. I danced with companies there during the winter. So really not long stays, but I was able to travel a lot as well. So
when was the time you think, okay, you're still in the South, when did you kind of transition out of the South and like start moving away? Because for me, like, I wanted to get away from the South, you know, even though Atlanta is kind of the gay mecca of the South, I feel a lot of times.
Yeah.
I wanted to get away. I wanted to experience other things.
Well, I was in the South. So I was in Nashville from Montgomery to Nashville until 2016. So I was in the South for a long time. But once I moved into my second career, in the medical field, I transitioned from, I lived in Nashville and then I got my first job in the medical field in Portland, Oregon. So around 2016, 2017 is when I moved officially out of the South. So,
but that was more for a job than it was necessarily like, correct, I need to get out of here.
Right. I mean, like living in Nashville, it was just like almost living in Atlanta, where there's a very large gay community there. You know, you make your friends, you make your family.
Yeah.
And that's what you end up staying for. You know, I didn't see myself leaving the South anytime soon, especially once I got into my medical field. I was trying to find a job in the South. You know, the South can be very harsh at times, but it's also where you're like my family, my friends. So
it's very familiar.
Yeah.
And the good thing is, I would say this about Nashville, because when I lived in Atlanta, we would go up there a lot to play rugby. Mm-hmm. And when we'd go out, we'd have a blast.
Girl,
like
Nashville's a good time.
It has a good gay community. Mm-hmm. So any people who are around there and looking to visit, it's a very good city to go to.
Yeah, especially for the queer community. So there, yeah. I mean, it has one of the, like, if I'm remembering correctly, there's only like 10 lesbian bars left in the nation. And one of the best ones is Lipstick Lounge out in Nashville. And they have a great space for queer people there. Lots of good venues to go visit too.
Awesome.
When did Goldie come out? Oh.
We ready to talk about her?
Let's talk about Goldie. Goldie is my twin sister. She comes out on occasion, but it's my drag persona, Goldie Digger. Look her up on Insta.
And don't be confused when you see a woman on those pages.
I know. No, Goldie came about because of softball. So a lot of softball teams do drag fundraisers, and in Nashville, all the teams have to present a drag persona to qualify for money for the World Series or whatnot. And so my team selected me, and that's how Goldie Digger was born. So,
and how long have you been doing that?
Oh, next year will be 10 years for 10 Goldie. Years. Yeah. She comes out on and off, but sometimes she takes a long siesta.
So. Well, she made an appearance at one of my events recently.
Yes.
Which was very awesome. She did a great job there.
Thank you.
She was emceeing my bear happy hour that we do here at Silverado. So it was very awesome.
She loves to see a naked man. So
I think
you have that in too. Common.
Listen, we are twins for life. So,
You know, going through, you know, the different places you've lived and like the different states and things like that, you know, how was it, you know, when you transitioned, like, did you have any long-term relationships or that you had to end, or how did that go?
I was very picky in my relationships. So, I mean, not picky with men, but
relationships.
So like I rarely dated. So even now, I mean, I'm in a relationship now, but even then it's few and far between for mm-hmm. relationships. So, but when I left Nashville, it was more leaving friends and family.
Yeah. So do you get to go back and visit a lot?
The last time I visited was 2018. Oh, really? So it's been 3 years since I've last been in Nashville. So it's, I'm long overdue. Yeah. So.
Well, it's still, like I said, it's still a fun time when you go down there.
Yeah.
So, and then we talked about how, like, you are, you know, you're into to sports, you play softball, dancing, you've always been very athletic your entire life. Now, one thing that we had discussed and we had talked about, which some people consider a sensitive subject, one thing that we wanted to put out there so we could ask a lot of questions and have to talk. You did disclose, you know, early in our friendship mm-hmm. about your
HIV status.
Correct.
Yes.
So, and you had told us, you know, so I think one of the things Nick and I had always talked about, I feel like in the community, it's always talked about, you know, you see there's HIV awareness and people raising money for HIV and all these different
organizations.
Yes. That's the word I'm looking for that are always raising money to, you know, to always find a cure and do mm-hmm. things. And we have come a long way, but there's still a lot of stigma in yes. our community. So what we wanted to do was just be able to ask a lot of questions. And we were honored that you were willing to do that and come on and answer them.
She is an open book, honey. Yeah, she likes to read.
Because
so.
I figured, you know, I mean, growing up when, I mean, I'm 40. And so, you know, 20 years ago, what HIV met and was like and the scariness of it, I would say... somebody that doesn't have it, that it is different now mm-hmm. than it was that many. And so I just feel like I feel like I'm educated in HIV for like 15 years ago. Yeah, I don't right. feel like I'm educated for 2021, like what it's like today. So, we did want to, you know, ask some questions and hear a little bit about your story and what it's like, you know, for you, then and then now as well, and what kind of some of those stigmas or some right. of those questions that people, because I figured if I had questions, there's other people out there that have similar.
Yeah, of
how
course.
Old were you when you found out?
So I was 25 when I found out. So it's this September 1st will be 11 years since I was diagnosed.
So we're looking around the 2010
yes.
era.
So this was right when I moved to Nashville that I found out that I was HIV positive. So
how did you find out? Was it through random testing?
So I am a big proponent of always getting tested every 3 months. And even now that I'm HIV positive, you know, you still go and get tested because you have to find out a lot of information, viral load, you know, just anything that you need to know during your testing. So, it was just a regular checkup. You know, I wasn't sick. I was, healthy. I had no, indications that I was, HIV positive. So when I went, I just, oh, it's just a random checkup, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think as all gay men do, you know, what is that feeling like when you hear it?
Well, a lot of it. So I have to take you back to when I first came out to like my mom. And it's always a touchy subject when it does happen, because when I came out to my mom, like, we had a talk about it, and it was very much, you know, I said, you know, I lost my virginity, and she was like, cause I was very upset. Like, I got outed when I was at a cheerleading practice, and the cheerleading coach said, you need to call your parents to come pick you up.
Dang.
And, so I called my mom, she came pick me up. I was in tears. Cause you know, when you're getting outed, you're like, oh my gosh, this is the end of the world, especially in the South. So like, I was in tears. My mom came, picked me up. She was like, we're not going to talk about it until you're ready. So the next morning, so I go home, go to bed. The next morning, my mom's like, so we're going to talk about it now.
She decided.
As any Southern woman, mother would know, is like, now it's time to talk about it. So she was like, tell me what's going on. And I was like, well, I lost my virginity. And she was like, well, what's her name? And I was like, well, it's not a female. And at this point, you know, my mom is very smart. She's very intimidating. She's like, well, what's his name? And I was like, well, I'm not going to tell you.
You don't need to tell somebody else.
So I go to school, and obviously, you know, in the South, everything spreads like wildfire. So, you know, everybody's looking at you. I get home, and my mom has already done, like, I'm sure she didn't go to work, but she was like, she gave me an article. She handed it to me, and she was like, this is your future. And it was an HIV article.
Oh, ouch.
So, I mean, it was, I mean, but you do things when information is sprung on you. Like, nowadays, no parent wants to hear that their child's going to have a difficult future, you know? So, and that's comes from a place of insecurity and not being knowledge or educated on this. And so she was trying to scare me into saying, hey, this is your future. And so when I got my test back and it was positive, that's literally the first thing that I thought about, you know? And yeah. So it was definitely a chilling moment. So like I went into the health department, and they're like, all right, you can come back. Guadalupe, you can come back. And I go back, and I'm sitting in the small office with this woman. And she says, your test came back positive for HIV. And when you see like big information get hit upon a character in a movie, and they have that zone out effect where they just, everything flashes, that's literally what happened to me. Like she starts going off rambling about stuff that I need to do. I'm not hearing any of it. Yeah. I am thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I'm 25. My life is over. What am I going to do now? I was on my lunch break from the ballet company. So I was like,
yeah, how do you go back? And
so I went, I mean, I did go back to the ballet company, but like, you know, you get all this information from the health department, and they're like, you know, they set up your doc, like they set up your doctor visit. They set up, you know, you need to go and get your labs done. You need to go all this X, Y, and Z. And like, I started wailing. And when she told me the information, I was crying. I was not thinking about anything, but I gather myself together. I'm an hour late for ballet rehearsal, and I go back in, and I'm like, we're doing Carmen. And so I'm over there. So I'm just like, all right, I got to go back into dance mode. So I go into dance mode, and I'm dancing, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, dancing, and I'm crying as I'm dancing, and everybody's like, what's going on? And I'm like, I can't tell you. It's not your business. So then I finally have my best dance friend in the world. She's amazing. I call her my mustard. We finish ballet and finish rehearsals, and I go out to my car, and I just start crying. Like, I think the world is over with, you know, at that point you're young, you're still young, and you have this big information unloaded on you. And, you know, my best friend came out to the car, and she was like, what's wrong? And I was like, I can't tell you. And I just cried with her. So it was, the first day was very hard for me, I think. So
who was the first person you told?
My best dance friend. So she came over later that night, and I told her, and she was like, this doesn't change who you are. There is medicine out there. We're going to get you healthy and happy. And so it was definitely a relief to tell somebody, but it was definitely hard because it's not only like you think you messed up, but it's just part of life, you know?
And also you'd been burned when you told somebody you were gay. They went and told everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm sure in the back of your mind somewhere there was like, if I tell her, she's going to tell everybody that we know. And then it's not my story to tell anymore. Right.
Well, and at that point I was working 3 jobs because, you know, the arts don't pay all that well. So I was working at Chili's. I was working at a gay bar in Nashville, Play Dance Bar. And
I love Play.
I love Play too. So
odd bar, go ahead.
But it's all these things that you think about. You're like, oh my gosh, people are going to find out. And then you're stigmatized. You know, people are like, ooh, stay away and stuff like that. And you don't know how to deal with things.
Right.
So fast forward, I got an amazing HIV specialist in Nashville through Vanderbilt. And she was my doctor for the first 8 years of my diagnosis. And she was amazing. So I have nothing but good things to say about my first doctor. So...
So finding out you have it, it's, you know, very beginning, you know, they're doing it. What was like your medication regimen? What was it like?
So, mine was probably a little more different than most people. The first medication I got on was Atripla. It was at that time, the only one a day pill. And, turns out I was allergic to it.
Oh, ouch. Oh my gosh.
So I started taking it and I was like, oh, maybe a week in, and I just started getting hives from head to toe. And so I went in and I talked to my specialist and she was like, all right, we're going to get you on this new regimen. And took me off that regimen, took me off Atripla, and then I got onto this 3 pill once a day. So it was Truvada, Reataz and another medication. And I started taking that and I felt fine. Everything was good. And, turns out like I had jaundice because of it. So like basically what this medication does, like your normal bilirubin is what causes you to have jaundice. It's like in your bile duct and stuff. And a normal person's bilirubin is like 1.7, 1.9. Mine was 7.8.
Ouch.
It's toxic is like 14. So it was like, all right, we're going to take you off that set of medication. And then I got put on my last medication, which was Truvada and Isentris. It's 3 pills, or 1 pill once a day and 1 pill twice a day. So, and then I got on that one, and that was my regimen for a very long time.
Did you have any side effects from those?
Oh, yes. Like Atripla, it was like vivid dreams. Like you would think they're real. So that was my number one side effect. And people are like, oh, this is crazy. And it really was. And then I didn't really, aside from me having jaundice for the second regimen, that was the only side effects I knew. And then my last regimen, I had like... I could time it down where I had diarrhea at a certain time. If I took it, it's like 3 hours after I took it, I'd have diarrhea.
Really?
Yeah. So,
and is that the same one you're on now?
So yes and no. So like, Truvada and Isentris has a combined pill. So I'm on a pill once a day now, and that's Triumeq. So it's the same components of the 2 pills, but they've put it into 1 pill. So I'm on that regimen now.
It's amazing because I guess still in my mind, I think back to the 90s and things where people were taking like 5 or 6 pills a day and the side effects that were so, you know, horrible for people, you know, just to stay alive. So 1 pill a day. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's interesting that you bring up Truvada because obviously a lot of gay men are on that now to prevent HIV.
Correct.
So do you still take that as well?
So Truvada and the drug combo Truvada and Isentris has a 1 pill day. So that is what I take now, which is Triumeq. So it's basically the same components of those 2 pills in 1 pill.
Nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
And just to ask a generic question, the reason you take the medication is?
To keep my viral load undetectable.
Okay.
So.
And that leads us to another area.
Let's go, sis.
Well, I mean, I still think it's it's not very known, or like a lot of people aren't educated on it. And I'll be honest to say that I'm not very educated on it, but you see it a lot. You're looking at a Grindr profile and it says HIV positive, undetectable.
Mm-hmm.
So walk us through what undetectable means for you and what it means for any sexual partners that you were going to have.
So undetectable means that the amount of the virus is so low that is not detected by blood test. That doesn't mean that the virus is not in your body. Basically what happens is, basically when you're undetectable, the virus is in the, what we call reservoirs. So they're still in your body, but it's not detectable. You're not able to transmit it, but it's still there.
So when you take a HIV test, it doesn't show up at all, or?
Correct.
Okay. So the only reason you know that you have it is because of
previous tests. Correct.
So if you did a swab, I mean, because I haven't heard this before. So if you take a swab, then, you know, in your mouth and you put it in the little solution and you wait 10, 15 minutes.
I believe so.
It won't populate any result.
Because you still have to, are you still going every 3 months to get like your blood work done?
So it just depends. It depends on the provider you go to. My last provider here, who recently retired, so I have to find a new one. But they transition, like I've been undetectable for 10 years. So I haven't had a rise in my viral load at all in that since I became undetectable. And once you become undetectable, like my providers said that I only need to come in every 6 months.
Okay.
To get my medication, because a lot of it is you stay undetectable by staying on your regimen, keeping accounted for yourself. You take your medication daily or whatever, however it's prescribed, and that helps prevent you from becoming detectable.
So when you're single, because we know you're in a relationship now, but when you're single and you're going to hook up with someone, you know, say we're out at the bar, is that something that you say in the beginning? Because you know you're undetectable, obviously, so you know you're not going to spread anything, but like, do you still disclose that, or how does that work?
So for me, I always disclose it. Like, it's very much, you know, it's not your choice to say whether or not someone needs to know. If you're HIV positive, undetectable, you should always disclose your status to your partners. I mean, some people don't, which is, you know, probably how I got infected. You know, I feel like I would be educated enough to know that, hey, we can still have sex even with a condom on. If I would have been given the choice, things may have gone differently for me.
Right.
But a lot of people feel like they don't need to tell you, and I feel like that's really wrong. So I'm always of the mindset, like, even, you know, I would always tell people up front, because I'd rather get rejected up front than waste my time and energy into something. But there are people who are like, other people are like, well, let me date this person and not have sex and then tell them. So that way an attachment is formed and maybe something else will happen, you know?
Right. Cause some people wouldn't tell.
Correct.
Because they're saying, well, I'm undetectable, so it's no risk to you, you know? No big deal. I'm not going to say anything, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, it's still holding back a big piece of yourself that you're just starting out a relationship, you know, dishonestly. So it's honorable that you do that.
Yes.
So thinking about it, you know, saying you are recently in a relationship, how did that conversation go when you disclosed that to your partner now?
Well, we met on Scruff.
Okay.
So, and I have it on my, like, in the early days, I would not post it because, one, I was in the South still, and I would wait until I either talked to them but I would not advertise that I was HIV positive. But throughout my course of being HIV positive, I was like, you know what? F this. I don't care. Either you want me or you don't. Like, it's not... Like, I was very, once I got past the initial, like, okay, I have this, it's not going away anytime soon, I can make a decision to where I can be out about it and be upfront about it. So, and the more that people are out and upfront about it, the less of a stigma there is. And that's how I have lived for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm. And so when you did discuss it with your now partner, they saw it obviously on your profile.
Yeah.
And then did he have a lot of questions or was, no, do you feel he was educated?
He's very educated on it. I still have a verbal, like not a verbal discussion, but we still had a chat about it, even though, you know, it's like, hey, I just want to make sure, because a lot of times, people will scroll through and, you know, you'll see a picture, but you won't look at the profile and you'll be like, hey, what's up? And so I'm like, hey, I just want to make sure you saw that I'm HIV positive. I'm undetectable. And he was like, yeah, no problem. You know, so.
That's a good guy.
That's a good guy. Yeah. I picked a really good one. So, I mean, but he is on PrEP, which is, you know, prophylactic, pre-exposure prophylactic. That's what PrEP stands for. And so he takes his medicine every day, just like I take my medicine every day. And
come on, medical field.
I know, we're done with
the acronyms and stuff. I just call it PrEP.
So
he, how long have y'all been together now?
It's almost been a year. So. Yeah. And like officially November will be a year. So,
So I do kind of want to backtrack a little bit. Now, you said that if someone had been open with you when you were hooking up with them, that you might've known, do you kind of know who it might've been?
No. Okay. So like I, you know,
no judgments.
I'm all about sex positivity and you know, I enjoyed my youth. Like enjoyed having sex and you know, I could have just as easily put a condom on whoever I had sex with. Right. But, you know, that was just as much my mistake as my fault as theirs, you know? So I take responsibility for that. So I don't know who infected me there. I have inklings as to who, but also, you know, I didn't have an issue having sex with guys that were HIV positive. You know, I just made sure that they wore a condom.
Right.
But, you know, guys lie to get what they want. So,
and back then, that's what we knew. That's what we were educated about. Is like, if you wear a condom, you know, you're safe and those types of things. So I just think it's interesting now to hear, you know, the growth of it. Because you came, I don't want to say if you're going to get it, you had it at a good time. You know what I mean? But like, I still think about a lot of the people that
we lost.
Yes, that are not here anymore and the way it is. And like, I don't want to downplay HIV at all, but like, it's something now that we can actually kind of control and we can take care of. Correct. And like with the right type of medication and the right regimen, you can, you know, you're healthy. You're like I said, you are drag queen, love and life.
She's in shape, honey.
She plays softball. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's awesome to see and know someone and love someone. You're a person that I love that is living their life to the fullest. And it's not, I just, you know, a lot of people still who don't have it think of it as a death sentence. Yeah. So,
I guess my last question, probably on the maybe it's not last, but on the undetectable was I was always wondering, like, well, okay, you're undetectable, but like, how do I know, like, if we're getting in bed like tonight that you're undetectable, like right now?
Well, I mean, I can for me, like, as a result, like, there are studies out there that have shown, that is how it is.
You would have to be, but what I think I've read and stuff, you'd have to be off your medicine for a while and not taking it to really get, and then that's still not even
correct
a problem, like still not even a for sure thing.
I mean, there are three large multinational research studies involving couples where one is HIV positive and one is HIV negative. And over the course of, I believe it's 5 years or so, the HPTN052 study, the partner study, and opposites attract studies, all of these studies were done with HIV positive, HIV negative couples. And it was over 3,000 couples, and over the course of these studies of condomless interactions, nobody got it because of
one. Well, the one person was taking their medicine, and the other person, I assume, was on PrEP.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, how has it been like? And I hate to bring negativity, but like, have you had bad encounters where you've disclosed to someone?
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, and it's just something like you hate to have to deal with it, but I mean, even nowadays, like you get people that are like, no, you have to be clean. And I say that with, you know, air quotes, yeah. But I mean, I douched, I'm clean, you know, I mean, but like you have uneducated individuals out there, and probably because they don't know anybody that's HIV positive. Right. They don't know anybody that's undetectable, and they haven't, or they themselves have not gotten tested and they don't know that they're HIV positive, you know? So right. You have these people out there that are just uneducated and don't know. But yes, I had many, like, I remember I have two experiences. I remember the very first time that I was going to have sex with somebody after I became positive. And girl, it was a long few months to almost a year before I was like even thought about sex. And before we even start, like we had kissed, and then I was like, I can't let this go any further because I haven't talked to him about my status. And I just started crying. Like I broke down and cried in front of him after we kissed. Cause I was like, oh my God, I have to tell somebody. And you know, I told him and he was like, don't worry about it. I'm HIV positive, undetectable too.
Oh really?
And so it was just, we had not had that conversation. So like there are good instances of people out there, but then you have like the people that were like, there have been plenty of times where it's like, oh, I tell them and they're on the way over and then they ghost you, or they're like, oh, I gotta go.
Yeah.
So
thinking about what your mother said when you first came out to her, mm-hmm. what was it like when you told her?
You know, it's definitely an experience. Like me and my mom are very close. We talk once or twice a week now. And when I told her, like, I could tell like that she knew something big was coming. Cause I was like, Mom, I got to tell you something. And you know, it's the only one big thing that you have to tell somebody after.
It's not that you're pregnant.
Yeah, no. It's, well, girl, you never know.
She is getting a little hippie lately.
Listen, no, it was just, I could tell on the phone with her. It wasn't in person. I could tell on the phone that she like knew something was up. And I was just like, you know, I'm HIV positive. And she was like, she just let it cool as a cucumber. You know, she's just like, well, are you healthy? And I was like, yes. And that was it. So
when did, so we've been talking about the science part of it a little bit, but like, when did you go from like you said, like, oh, my life is over, you know, from the beginning when you found out to like the person you are today talking to us about, you know, so openly about every little aspect of it. When did that, was there points when that clicked or thoughts you had that helped you along the way?
I think a lot of it was my provider when I was in Nashville. She was absolutely amazing. And she was like, you're going to die of old age before you die of this, as long as you are on your medication and you keep up with it. And, cause normally a lot of times with people who become HIV positive, they go to their provider and they don't have like the issue with being allergic to the medication or having to do another round of medication and that not working and then coming back. So like I saw my provider more in the first month than most people will see in the first 3 years. So like it was a lot different than most people's experience, I would say. But there are people, I mean, I think within the first 5 years is when I was like, you know what, F this, I'm not letting this control me. Granted, a lot of it was still, you know, I didn't become out with my HIV status. You know, I post about it on Facebook, but this was years after my initial diagnosis. And I was just like, well, you know, it is what it is. It's not going to change anything about me. And so but it did take a lot of growing mentally in order to get that way, because it is still not a taboo subject, but it's still a stigma around it. And right. so that's why I was like, well, not if I'm around. So
she's here to educate.
Right.
And did you have any other resources or any other things that you found helpful other than your provider in your journey with it?
I mean, they offered a lot, like, oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
Like support groups?
Yes. So, but they have, I'm going to kill myself. I can't remember this. No, Nashville AIDS Outreach has a wonderful team there. And I saw a therapist there for a couple of times, you know, and a lot of it's just, you know, to talk. They had support services. I mean, there are a lot of any big city that you're in has support services for people living with HIV.
Yeah. So, and even for like partners of people with correct. HIV and,
you know, because it's not just whatever. You that are going through this, you know, you go through this as a team to deal with that. So, and then I remember one of the first boyfriends, long-term boyfriends that I had after I became positive, he was like, do you think your provider would mind if I came to your appointment with you? And I was like, absolutely not. And so I emailed my provider and she was like, yeah, bring him along. And he asked questions and stuff like that. And it was great. Like, it's a team sport. Like, if you have a partner, you know, bring them to your doctor visits. So,
yeah.
So thinking of it now, you know, is it something you wake up every day and think about?
No, I don't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
I think only like part of it is just like, hey, I got a pill to take and that's it.
Yeah.
So, but even that is going away right now. There's, a new, injectable medication that you take once a month and get injected. I'm not on it, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that's for people who are already positive.
Correct.
Okay. Because I know it seems like every day you hear something new about, you know, like Truvada and PrEP, and they're always making, you know, new strides in it. So I wonder if there's going to be like that for people to prevent it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, thank you so much.
Oh,
I mean,
of course.
I feel like my head is reeling because of the sense of, like I said, I don't think I was educated enough on this. I do right. feel like I've learned a lot from you today and a lot by knowing you.
Right.
And I appreciate that because I feel like a lot of times you're very scared to ask the questions,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you come at it the correct way,
yeah,
it's, you know, you're always,
well, I mean, even if you don't know, even if you don't have somebody to ask, you know, ask a medical professional. Like if you have a doctor and you are unsure about it, ask them, go to your local AIDS outreach to get more information on it. You know, there are a bunch of websites. Thebody.com is a great source for HIV related information. So, I mean, and not just that. So there are organizations out there to help. So
yeah.
people get educated.
Yeah. Thank you. Cause I definitely am one of the people that would have been very hesitant to sleep with someone with or without a condom.
Yeah.
If I knew that up front, like, I just don't feel like I was educated enough to like relax and actually enjoy it. Not right. that I wouldn't like thought they were, oh, gross, how dare you? But like more like, I don't know how I could relax and enjoy it. Like wondering all the questions I had for right. it.
I mean, I think even with, you know, U equals U and campaign, undetectable means untransmissible.
Transmittable?
Yes, that's it. You got it. I mean, even with that, like, people may not be comfortable not wearing condoms. So I'm like, it's not something to bash against, as long, you know, if you're getting your rocks off, get your rocks off. Wear right. wear protection. It's up to you to make an informed decision. So yeah.
Well, I think it's still something, you know, it's always there, and I think in a lot of gay men's mind, you mm-hmm. know, something you always think about. But I do feel like we're finally at a place to where you can do things to prevent yourself from getting it, and the people who have it can prevent themselves from transmitting it to others. So mm-hmm. it's very much a different world now.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate having you, not just on the show, but in my life. You're like a person that's very easy to talk to, and you're very good about sharing, you know, being very open, and I appreciate everybody needs to have somebody like that in their lives.
Yeah. I love you too, boo. Sharing is caring.
All right. And she's ready to go to Barracuda Night and dance.
Oh, hey, well, thank you again, Guadalupe, for educating us, and hopefully he answered some questions for you and made it worth listening. And I know that he told his experience and that other people's experiences may vary. So, yes, but feel free to keep the conversation going. I think that's the big thing over our last few episodes is just having conversations and being able to talk about things and ask questions. And when it comes to relationships or STIs, HIV, different kinds of things, that we can all just, you know, have a conversation, put our vodkas down for a minute, or put our claws down and finish
Jaeger bombs, whatever you do. Yeah,
shots down and have a conversation every once in a while. So this week we do not have a horror tax, which is a way you can donate to the show. And you just go on our website, thebeartakedown.com. You can fill out the little form there. You can send us a donation. Tell us how that time you were a whore and you need to be forgiven. And we will read it here on the podcast and say thank you. So you can do that. You can follow us on social medias at The Bear Takedown, either on Instagram or Facebook. And don't forget to check to see if your CPAP machine is on the recall list.
And I'm sure y'all have heard my wind chimes in the background. This whole time.
Very melodic. Like,
I can hear them in my headphones.
It's very melodic.
It's very tranquil.
Oh, gosh. Well, we had a great time. Thank you very much, Guadalupe. Thank you, Sugar. Until next time.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Let's go party.